verses 29 through 34 are on page 1618 of your Pew Bible. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and God knows that you need them. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you be with us today amongst our worries, amongst our striving for things we don't always need. Be with us and help us to focus on you and your kingdom in our lives and how we might live into that more often. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've got a lot of comments from my Thursday Lenten luncheon. A lot of you appreciated that I sang a lot of Lady Gaga song Thursday. So I'm going to sing again today because you know what? I told the kids I was nervous. There's a reason why I'm nervous. Stop me when you know it. This, oh, by the way, this is part of the mindful music over at Miami Trace Elementary School. And Henry will sing this in the van when he gets home from school often. 525,600 minutes, 525,000 moments, oh dear. 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year? Yeah, I did it. All right, got it. Woo! Yeah. Okay. Now, if you don't know, that is a song from the Broadway show, 1996 Broadway show, Rent, right? It's the hit song out of that. If you've heard a song from Rent, that's the song you've heard. It's called Seasons of Love. And I love this song because it begins by breaking down how many minutes are actually in a year, right? That's the 525, I can't even say it, I can only sing it. 600 minutes. 525,600 minutes. And it forces the listener to shift perspective on how you spend those minutes, right? Because you think you know what a minute feels like. A year feels like it can feel like forever. But a minute, you know, you can feel it. It's tangible. It's immediate, especially when you measure it that way. How many of those minutes, those 60 seconds that you spend in a year, do you waste on meaningless garbage? Spiraling out of control with negativity or anxiety. How many of those minutes am I unnecessarily frustrated or short-tempered? The song asks us to reconsider how you might measure your life. Not by minutes, not by your bank account, your possessions you have, or past traumas, but by something greater. Now, we'll get to what the song suggests a bit later, but I want us really to linger on this question. How do you measure your life? Now, I think most people would start by measuring how many years that you have lived, right? That's your first unit of measurement. I've lived this many years. But I think we quickly move on then to compare ourselves with the lives of others. We rank our accomplishments against our classmates and other peers, or even worse, we rank those against super successful period people around our age. Now, I was born on the same day and year as the actress Jessica Biel. Her and I share the exact same birthday in the same year. And I always think about that because we were both in the hospital the same day. Now, not the same hospital. But I think that's where we were, these crying babies. Both of us started right there, right? All right. Now, you may know Jessica Biel. She was in the show Seventh Heaven. Yeah, she played the troublemaking eldest daughter. Oh, yeah, she got a lot of trouble in that show. And she caused a lot of problems for her pastor dad, right? Hope our kids don't, you know. Well, they might. And I think, all right, so she went on to become an actress, right? She's in a ton of TV shows. She's done movies. Now, do you know what's going on in Jessica Biel's life? She's married to Justin Timberlake. What? I mean, no offense to my wife, but I want to be married to Justin Timberlake. Now, maybe more his bank account, right? Right? That's what I think about. Like, I think, what? We were both babies in the hospital. Now she's married to like the most coolest guy in the world, Justin Timberlake. Anne has the same problem. What? Who do you share your birthday with, Anne? The same year and day, by the way.
Prince William.
Prince William. I want to be married to Prince William. No. But isn't that crazy? If I spend my whole life thinking I need to be like Jessica Biel, I'm comparing my life to her, my accomplishments to hers, what do you think that's going to set me up for? A lot of failure. A lot of failure. Frustration, anger. I'm thinking I'm never going to be quite as successful as she is. So you get where I'm going with this, right? It's hard to avoid, but trying to measure up to someone else's success only destroys your sense of self and your sense of self-worth, and it reinforces your feelings of being inferior, that you'll never measure up, so why bother trying? Now, I'm not saying healthy competition, right? Or healthy striving to be better each day is a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. You should be striving to be better. You should have people that you kind of look up to, right? That could be a model for you how to live. But when you are obsessing over measuring yourself up to someone else's accomplishments, you end up demeaning your own inherent worth as a human being and as a child of God. It's no way to measure your life. Now, society has a lot of different measuring sticks that they offer you. They might say, here you go. Here's a really good way to measure your life. We have a bunch of options for you. Choose like it's a stack of cards. So many ways to measure your life of how you're doing, right? Grades and GPA. That's one way that when you're a kid, they tell you, oh, this is how you stack up against your peers. Later on in life, you start judging yourself by how much you put away for your retirement. You start looking at your friends on Facebook and Twitter about how their lives are going, though that turns out to be a big sham half the time. You try to judge yourself by how many degrees you have on your business card. Maybe how big your television is, etc., etc. All of these can be helpful or harmful in trying to use them to measure your life. It would be so much easier if we all just had like that Mary Poppins measuring stick. Y'all remember that? That she had that little measuring tape in her thing? And the little kid was, what was he? Something annoying and obnoxious. Extremely stubborn. Well, I got it up here because I thought it applied to my life pretty well. Extremely stubborn and suspicious. Now, that's a measurement I can deal with in my life. At least I know, right? And she pulls it out, and she's practically perfect in every way. I wish we had something like that that would just tell us the truth. Yet here's the thing we always forget. All of us, each and every one of us, gets to choose how you measure your life. You all get to decide the measuring stick of which you judge your own life. No one wants to tell you that, but you do. Not your parents, not your teachers, not your friends. It's you who decides how your life will be measured. What success looks like, what a worthy life looks like. So my question for you is, what standard or measuring stick have you used to judge your life? Has it been helpful or has it been destructive? Has it brought new life and new energy to you, or has it left you empty and broken? This is what this passage from Luke 12 is all about. Jesus is laying out for us what it means to measure our lives by kingdom standards rather than those of society. Kingdom people refuse to live in a scarcity mindset where you feel like you need to desperately hold on to everything you own because there's never enough to go around. Jesus, God knows that what you need. Strive first for the kingdom of God and the rest will fall in place. That's a kingdom standard. Jesus is not saying that food and clothes are not important, but rather quite the opposite. God knows exactly how important they are, that God offers them to the birds and the grass. It's the anxious striving for them. A life measured by how much we have, how often we buy, that Jesus rejects in this passage. God asks you to strive for one thing, the kingdom, and allow everything else then for God to handle the rest. Spend your time pursuing grace and love in your life and in your community. Measure your life by the standard of forgiving love and grace that you have received from Christ. Because the antidote to all these existential crises we have on a regular basis about whether our lives measure up, the antidote to that is to release the things we do have control over. Let go of those things that we're desperately grasping onto as if they are the end-all, be-all. Our possessions, those measuring sticks that you have that have hindered your life, your status, whatever that might be. Because when Jesus tells us to sell all your possessions in this passage and give alms, he means it. Sell everything that has blocked you from striving for the kingdom. Give it all up. The beauty standards, the material desires, the need for a higher status, sell it all. It does nothing but distract you and make you anxious. Let it go so you can take on something worthy of your life, worthy of the gifts that God has given you, and something that brings new life to you. A life centered on sacrificing for our neighbors, family, friends. A life measured on how you give instead of what you held on to. So during Rent, at the end of Seasons of Love, or during the song, they make a very clear suggestion about how you might measure your life. A healthier way to measure your life. Anybody know what that measurement is in the song? Shout it out to me. Love. Love. The love you gave, the love you received. Measure your life by that standard. How much love have you shared? How much love have you offered? Nothing else matters but that. This is what it means to strive for the kingdom of God, to offer love and to give love. And we must be willing to sell anything that hinders striving for that standard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.